In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I have a confession to make. While I know that Pentecost is a major feast of the Church, this gift of the Holy Spirit, this ethereal, unseeable third person of the Trinity that is supposed to inspire and lead and empower us in Jesus' absence, well, it makes me a bit uncomfortable, uneasy. And I think it's a bit ironic because one of the names for the Holy Spirit is the Holy Comforter. Part of my unease, I think, is because I grew up in the Deep South, where Pentecostal churches rival in number those of the Baptist persuasion. Now, Pentecostal churches, as you know, are known for things like speaking in tongues and people being slain in the Spirit, that sort of fainting out onto the floor, for their lively worship. And that lively worship is what gets them nicknamed, at least in my neck of the woods, Holy Rollers. Right? But these strange religious practices, the tongues and the slain in the Spirit and a lively worship, well, these are the things that give Flannery O'Connor and other Southern authors some pretty interesting things to write about. Some of my unease also, though, comes from our own tradition. One Sunday, my third grade Sunday school teacher, Mrs. Allen, took us on a tour of the church. We moved throughout the building, looking at things like the baptismal font and all the stained glass windows and the images carved in the pulpit and on the lectern. We peered beyond the altar rail to see the books and the silver and all the holy vessels that are used for communion. And I think mostly out of habit, we dropped to our knees as we were standing there along the altar rail. Now, above the altar rail in my home church hang seven lights. They're globes shaped like sort of upside-down teardrops. They're on varying length of chain and from a beam that hangs, that goes across the ceiling. And each globe is shaped like molded flames of fire. And when the lights turn on, they glow this red, burning kind of color. So seeing us kneeling there, I have to imagine that is what triggered Mrs. Allen to have the idea to describe to us the events we just heard in the reading from the Acts of the Apostles. She told us how the Spirit fell like flames of fire on the disciples' heads, just like the flames that were above our heads. She reminded us that in baptism we were filled with the Spirit, and that at confirmation, there would be a second outpouring that would fall on us again. She went on to say that every time we heard the gospel and every time we took communion, the Spirit was there. For a long time, the image of fiery flames falling on my head is what I thought about on my weekly trip up to the communion rail. It was scary. The flaming Spirit falling whether I wanted it to or not. Now, in the book of Acts, the arrival of the Spirit is told in vivid detail. 10 days have passed since the disciples had gathered outside the walls of Jerusalem to witness Jesus float up to heaven like some helium balloon. Before leaving, Jesus asked them to go back to Jerusalem and wait for the arrival of the Spirit. And that's what the disciples do. They go back to Jerusalem, they hold up in an upper room, and they wait, and they hope. And I can imagine them sitting together, sharing the stories of being with Jesus, talking about the healings and the parables, the dinner parties with unlikely guests, and of course, the miracles. Healings and resurrections and all kinds of things. Feedings. I imagine them sitting with their fears and their anxieties, their sadness and their loss, wondering what direction their lives might take in Jesus' absence. So day after day, 10 days in a row, they gather longing for whatever is going to happen to just happen already. Then on the 50th day, Pentecost, they hear the Spirit's approach, and it sounds like a tornado. And the wind comes, and it fills the house where they've gathered. An event as miraculous as anything they've experienced before with Jesus' presence among them. something like flames of fire fall and a light on each person's head, and they begin to speak in languages they never learned. This is where our lesson kind of ends this morning, right? But that's not the end of the story. There's so much commotion inside the house that it draws a large crowd of pilgrims who come to Jerusalem, and they hear and are bewildered by what they hear, the native tongues being spoken by people from Galilee. And they wonder, how did these uneducated Galileans know so many different languages? You see, Galileans were not known for being terribly sophisticated. They were from the rural north, like I'm from the rural south. The skeptics in the group, well, they attribute that what they hear is the disciples, well, they had a little too much wine to drink. They're drunk. Of course, if you're like me, my experience is that people who drink too much rarely get much smarter. Then someone in the crowd asks a simple question. What does this mean? What does this mean? And the remainder of the second chapter of Acts is Peter's answer to this question. Now, it may be surprising that it's Peter the first to speak. After all, he's the one who denied Jesus three times. He's the one who fled with the majority of the disciples when Jesus is hanging on the cross. But now, empowered by the Holy Spirit, Peter preaches a prophetic message to the crowd of pilgrims. He recalls a passage from the prophet Joel, which says like this: in the last days, God will pour out the Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and the Spirit will fall on both men and women, and then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Peter, this once too frightened man to even acknowledge his relationship with Jesus, preaches, and the Spirit falls, and 3,000 people come to believe and are baptized. It's the beginning of the church. It's the beginning of Jesus' ongoing mission of reconciliation and love. I believe the real miracle of Pentecost is not the roar of the mighty wind or the flaming tongues of fire or even the ability to speak in languages unlearned. The real miracle is the empowerment, the gift of prophetic speech. Now, I'm not talking about prognostication, predicting the future. I'm talking about the Spirit's gift to speak the truth about God in the present moment. It's what Peter does, you see. He proclaims God's desire to pour out the Spirit on everyone, young and old, men and women, rich and poor, servants and masters, to dream dreams and to have visions and to be ultimately truth tellers about God's love. We live in a time that is in a desperate need of people to be truth tellers, to tell everyone they meet that God loves them. Now, Pentecost was a great day, and I see many of you are wearing red, so you got the notice, right? Wear red. It's Pentecost. It's a pivotal day in the life of the church, historically, but if all we do is commemorate the history of Pentecost, then we fail to understand the gift that Jesus has given to each and every one of us. Pentecost celebrates the continual outpouring of the Spirit over and over and over again on each and every one of us. And we see that witnessed in the Christian testament, where we understand the Spirit continuing to empower and convert. Remember how the Spirit fell on Paul. He's the persecutor of the church, and he becomes the apostle. The Spirit falls on Peter as he's struggling on how to include Gentiles into the community of faith. And his vision of church broadens and expands and becomes inclusive. The Spirit falls on the Roman Cornelius, and his entire household are converted and become Christian. The power of the Spirit is seen throughout Christian history, where we find God working among monks and mystics and missionaries and ordinary men and women making God's love known. When the church loses its way or becomes corrupt, it's the Spirit that restores and reforms. The Spirit leads us into deeper truth and deeper relationships with one another. The Spirit calms our fears of moving in new directions. It helps us enlarge our understanding of mission and ministry, lay and ordained. It breaks down the barriers of race and class, gender and sexuality and disability. It opens us up to new experiences. The Spirit falls on each and every one of us, calling and empowering us to be truth tellers, to be prophets in our time, to proclaim that God so loves the world that everyone can come into the reach of God's saving grace. That's our task. That's what we are called to do through the waters of baptism. It is why we are here this Pentecost Sunday, to be empowered anew, to be emboldened like Peter to share the good news with the world that Jesus loves them. It's a little scary, isn't it? It's scary that the Spirit is going to fall and permeate and fill and burn within us. In just a few moments, Catherine Lee and William James will be presented for holy baptism. Through prayer and sacrament, the gift of the Holy Spirit will be given to them, changing them forever. Now, we're going to give them back to their parents, and they're going to sound and smell and act the same. But in those sacred waters, they will become new creations as they are marked as Christ's own. Forever. Catherine Lee and William James will be the newest prophets, the newest truth tellers to the church. Our diocese made a commitment this past November that we as a whole assembly in North Georgia would become more intentional in the ways that we love like Jesus. It's part of our mission statement, to love like Jesus. So as we renew our baptismal covenant this morning, we have the opportunity to open ourselves to a fresh anointing, to enter more fully into the mission of taking Jesus' love out there into the world, to become, I hope, living examples to the little ones we baptize today of what it means to be Spirit-filled truth tellers. Empowered through God's love to change the world. Are you ready for the Spirit to fall on you today? Now, we have this little song that we've been singing throughout the diocese for maybe, I don't know, 4 or 5 years now. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us, melt us, mold us, fill us, use us, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Amen.